Okay, we're doing the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, and we were reading the Ramban. The Ramban had been enumerating reasons why Baal Halachos Gedolos, Rav Yehudai Gaon, would be legitimate in enumerating the reading of Megillah and other rabbinic mitzvot within the 613. The last reason we saw, the second reason, was that we find throughout Tanakh and also in our sages that when they say something as a general rule before an enumeration, it doesn't have to apply to all the specifics in the enumeration. So if they say there were 613 mitzvot given at Sinai, it could be that they meant there were 613 mitzvot, there are 613 mitzvot for the Jewish people, the majority of which were given at Sinai. That was his second point to protect Rav Yehudai Gaon.
So wouldn't this mean that the tradition of 613 doesn't actually go back to Har Sinai?
Oh, good point. Very, very good point. So that's an excellent point. And now the Ramban is going to give a third reason. Oh, what you said is very valid, right? According to Rav Yehudai Gaon, we would have to say that 613 might not date back to Sinai, this concept of 613. Correct. Okay, Vehashlishi, we're up to page Gimel, in the standard editions of the Sefer HaMitzvot, the first narrow line, Vehashlishi, and the third reason why Rav Yehudai Gaon is legitimate in enumerating rabbinic mitzvot within the 613, Shekevan Shenemar LeMoshe B'Sinai, being that Moshe was told at Sinai, Sheikablu Aleihem Yisrael Mitzvot Beit Din HaGadol, that the Jewish people would accept upon themselves the mitzvahs of the high court, and then this high court came and instituted these mitzvot, the reading of Megillah, washing the hands, Netilas Yadayim, Erevin. So being that these mitzvot were instituted by the high court gets their power from the fact that Moshe was told at Sinai that we have to listen to the high court. So then technically, when we say there were 613 mitzvot given to Moshe at Sinai, it could also encompass the mitzvot that were instituted by the high courts at later dates. They, the high court, came and instituted these. It's as though it's considered that all of them were said to Moshe at Sinai. There's no difference between them when we say they were said at Sinai. The only difference is that this one was specified and this one was said as a general rule. Hashem said to Moshe, the high court will have the power to make institutions.
And how do we even know that the tradition that we're supposed to listen to the rabbis actually
goes? Good. That's a good question. So that we will read. That's in a few weeks. The Torah says, "Al pi Torah asher yorucha." The Torah says you have to listen to what they tell you. V'kvar hor'eta ladat midivrei harav shema shechachamim chidshum b'mitzvot ha'atidot lehitchadesh, and you've already been shown to know from the words of the rabbi, the words of the Rambam, that which the rabbis made new mitzvot, that those mitzvot hatidot leitchadesh shekiblu otan aleihem b'Sinai, that when the Jewish people accepted at Sinai the mitzvot of the Torah, included in that was that they accepted the concept that the future mitzvot would be binding upon them. Ki ota shehizkir miperek shvuot hadayanim, just as the Rambam mentions from the Talmud in Shavuos, v'chen matzinu k'sheshbiya Moshe et Yisrael. The Talmud says the following: when Moshe took the Jewish people and he placed a vow upon them that they would accept the Torah, amar lehem, he said to them. So we're talking about Moshe now, where we're holding in our parshiyot, in Moshe's last days at Arvos Moav, he makes a pact with the Jewish people regarding their obligation to observe the Torah. So when he makes this pact and he places a vow upon them that they will observe the Torah, the Talmud says he said to them the following: Hevu yodin, I want you to know, shelo al datchem ani mashbia etchem, when I make you take this vow, well, I can make this vow based upon what you're thinking at the time of the vow, or I can make the vow based upon what I'm thinking and what God's thinking at the time of the vow. Well, I want you to know, this vow is not contingent on your thoughts. this vow is going based upon what I think. Lo al da'atchem ani mashvi'a etchem. I'm not making this vow based upon your thoughts. Ela al da'ati ve'al da'at ha'makom. You're taking this vow based upon what I'm thinking and what God's thinking. Shene'emar, as the verse says, v'lo itchem levadechem anochi koret et habrit hazot ve'et ha'ala hazot. Moshe says to the Jewish people, I'm not making this pact with you alone. I'm not making this vow upon you with you alone. So Moshe says, but rather, this vow is based upon my thoughts and God's thoughts. Now, this concept, we'll take a minute to explain the concept. The Talmud records that there was once a man who gave a loan to Bartalmion. He gave Bartalmion a loan. And then came time to pay back the loan, and Bartalmion said, I paid you back the loan. So the man took Bartalmion to court, and he said, I lent this man money. Bartalmion is refusing to pay it back, and Bartalmion says, I paid it back. Now the rabbis instituted that when a person says, I paid back a loan, we make him take a vow. Now Bartalmion was a crook, so what Bartalmion did was he took his staff, he hollowed it out, and inside the hollow of the staff he put all the money, sealed up the staff, and then when he came to take the vow, so he had to place his hand on a Tanakh, on a Bible, on a Torah, so he asked the man, he says, please hold my staff for me. So the man held his staff, and then he's standing in the court in front of Rava, and he puts his hand on the Sefer Torah and says, I swear that the money has been placed back in the person's hand. He tricked them. The money was in the man's hand. It was. It was in the staff that was in his hands. The man heard this. He got so upset. He said, how could you swear by God's name like that? Shame on you. And he smacks the stick on the floor. And when he hits the stick on the stick cracks, and all the money comes pouring out. And the court saw what Bartalmion had done. So ever since then, the courts instituted that whenever we take a vow, the courts tell the person, we want you to know, you will say the words, but the intent is our intent. Meaning, the vow will go upon you the way we think the vow is going upon you, not the way you might have in mind. That's the concept that Moshe is telling the Jewish people. He's saying, you should know, you're going to take a vow to accept the Torah, and the vow is not contingent upon your thoughts. One person might think, you know, I could do the mitzvahs, maybe I won't do the mitzvahs, maybe one day yeah, one day no, this mitzvah yeah, this mitzvah no. Moshe says, no, we're making a pact, and the pact is contingent not upon your thoughts, but upon my thoughts and God's thoughts. En li ela mitzvot shenitztavu besinai, the Talmud in Shavuos continues and says, all I see from this vow that Moshe placed upon the Jewish people was that they took upon themselves the responsibility to perform the mitzvot they were commanded at Sinai. Mitzvot ha'atidot li'itchadesh. What about mitzvot that were going to be instated in the future? Kigon mikra megillah. For example, the reading of Megillah. Minayin, how do we know that they took that upon themselves in the vow? Kloma. What the Talmud means to say, minayin sheshbi'an Moshe aleihen al da'ato ve'al da'at ha'makom. How do we know that Moshe placed this vow upon them, going with the way he understood it, the way the God had in mind with the vow? Tilmod lomar ki emu ve'kibelu. That's why the Megillah says the Jewish people, they were mekayem, they fulfilled, they did the mitzvot ve'kibelu, and they accepted upon themselves. Kiyimu, what they fulfilled, the mitzvot that were instituted in the generation after the destruction of the first temple, the generation of Mordechai and Esther, they fulfilled mashekiblu alehim kva, what they had already accepted in the time of Moshe. So the Talmud here clearly states that in the time of Moshe, the Jewish people already accepted the responsibility to perform the mitzvot that the high court, that the Sanhedrin, that the Beis Din HaGadol would institute upon them. So the Ramban continues. Now it's the Ramban talking. He says, you see it explicitly, Shekriyat Megillah Mekubelet Misinai, that the reading of Megillah was accepted already from Sinai. They didn't speak it out. They said in a general way, we are accepting the responsibility to perform the mitzvot that the rabbis institute. So in this general way, they accepted what would be in the future as well, the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. The Nichrat Alei Brit, and the covenant was cut upon this mitzvah, kishara mitzvot, just as it was cut on the other mitzvot. Uva ba shvua, And over this mitzvah, the rabbinic mitzvot, the Jewish people accepted a vow al dat hamakom, based upon God's thoughts when they took the vow. In Cain, if that's so, that we say the Jewish people at the time of Moshe already accepted the responsibility to perform the future rabbinic mitzvot, lama lo yomru alav al kayotze baze? Why can't we say about this mitzvah of reading Megillah and the other similar mitzvot? Why can't we say Nemru Moshe b'Sinai, that they are part of the mitzvot that were set to Moshe at Sinai? The Rambam had claimed with full force it's impossible to say that these mitzvot were set to Moshe at Sinai. These mitzvot were instituted hundreds of years later, right? Approximately a millennium later. So how could you say that they were set to Moshe at Sinai? Mikra Megillah, you're talking about after the first temple, which was almost a millennium after Moshe Rabbeinu. So how could you say they were set to Moshe at Sinai? So the Ramban says, being that we find the concept that the Jewish people accepted the responsibility to perform these mitzvot, that responsibility they accepted already in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, just as they could accept that responsibility, we could say that technically they were set to Moshe at Sinai. You're right, they weren't set specifically. The Rambam had said, what are you going to say? That the institution of Hallel, that King David would say a few centuries later, that was set to Moshe at Sinai? It was not. No one would say that. The idea is, says the Ramban, that the 613 encompass mitzvot that would be instituted later, like the reading of Hallel. Clear?
But Moshe would have known it, because he would have known the Torah.
Fine.
But if he knew it in advance?
Think about it.
Couldn't he say, by the way, this is something that is going to be instituted?
It could be. The Rambam said it's. You could say that, but he says, I don't find anyone who thought to say that. And Moshe would tell them, well, this is going to happen and this is going to be instituted, and accept that as well. Rambam says, I don't find anyone who said that. And he could say it, but it doesn't sound realistic that Moshe would do that. No. So, ve'im lo yiyeh habrit asher ne'emar ba b'Sinai, ela she'yaminu b'chol mitzvah she'yisadrut ha'nvi'im v'chachamim achareichen, כמו שהרב מפרש בכאן. And even if we say that the covenant and that which we say it was set at Sinai simply means that they would accept the mitzvot that would be arranged by the prophets and the sages at a later date, just as the Rambam explains over here, כל זה, all of this, even if we go with the Rambam's understanding, לא יפגום שלא יוכלו לומר בהם נאמרו למשה בסיני. Nonetheless, even if we say they weren't said specifically, they just accepted the concept that they would observe the rabbinic mitzvot, nonetheless, that doesn't preclude the capacity of the Gemara to refer to these mitzvot as mitzvot that were said to Moshe at Sinai, כמו שאמרו, like the Talmud says, קיימו מה שקיבלו עליהם כבר בסיני. The Talmud says they accepted, they fulfilled the institutions of Mordechai and Esther, which were institutions that they had already accepted at Sinai. So you see, the Talmud refers to Mikra Megillah, things that were instituted almost a millennium later, as things they accepted at Sinai. They didn't accept it in a specific sense, they accepted it in a general sense, that they would do whatever was instituted. And that is the third reason the Ramban says that Rav Yehudai Gaon is legitimate in enumerating rabbinic mitzvot among the 613.
But he's not arguing about the number of it. He's just saying how it could be that.
Right. He gave three reasons how you could incorporate rabbinic mitzvot in 613. Okay.
But whether it was so, is he still questioning whether it's 613 or not?
So let's go in order. He began by asking, how do we know this concept of 613? Maybe it's only one person's opinion in the Talmud. Then he went on to show that throughout the Talmud and the Midrashim, this is accepted as a given. The Talmud seems to accept it as a given that there are 613, and he answered certain questions he had about that. He said, we have to answer this question that way and that question the other way, but at the end of the day, that seems to be a given throughout the Talmud.
Well, we don't really know how we reached that number.
So the Rambam enumerated the number. It seems they had a tradition that there would be 613.
Right, but we don't know where this tradition came from.
Correct. The Ramban doubted as to whether this tradition was from Moshe from Sinai, or it was an arrived conclusion. At the end of the day, though, everyone agreed that the number has to be 613. Then the Ramban went on to say that really Rav Yehudai Gaon is legitimate in enumerating rabbinic mitzvot, firstly, because he had a version of the Gemara which simply stated the Jewish people have 613 mitzvot. It didn't say they were given to Moshe at Sinai. Well, the Jewish people's mitzvot includes the rabbinic mitzvot. So if the Talmud simply said the Jewish people have 613 mitzvot, then that could easily include the rabbinic mitzvot. And then he said, even if we go with the Rambam's version of the Gemara, that the Gemara said that 613 mitzvot were given to Moshe at Sinai, nonetheless, there are three reasons why Rav Yehudah Gaon would be legitimate in incorporating rabbinic mitzvot. Firstly, just one second, let's just finish this. Firstly, because sometimes the rabbis refer to rabbinic mitzvot as God told us to do this, even though it's rabbinic, they call it, they refer to it as though God said so. We even make a blessing. God gave us holiness and commanded us to do this mitzvah. God didn't directly command us to do the rabbinic mitzvot, yet we refer to them this way. So that's the first reason why they could be incorporated in the 613. The second reason is that when the rabbis use terminology, they sometimes refer to the majority of the whole, the majority of the set, even though there might be a minority which this characteristic does not apply to. So if they said 613 mitzvot were set at Sinai, they could mean, well, 580 of them were set at Sinai, the other 33 really weren't at Sinai, and yet they'll refer to all 613 as though they were set at Sinai. And the third reason we saw today was that the concept, the general acceptance of the performance of rabbinic mitzvot began at Sinai. And even though the specific mitzvot only came to be centuries later, nonetheless, being that their potency stems from Sinai, we can refer to them as 613 mitzvot that were given at Sinai. Yes, sir?
Is it the idea that it's not what you're thinking, it's what I'm thinking when I'm saying this? You said it actually goes to Moshe at Sinai, then why would the courts have had to make that ruling after the case with Bartholomew and the king?
Good question. The potential for that institution existed at Sinai, but the rabbis didn't apply it to every vow that was given in the courts until the story of Bartholomew.
So, is it now at this point, would Rambam be correct to understand Rambam as saying that, that it's possible that there are less than 613 deraita mitzvot,
correct,
and then the rabbis will throw in the other six,
He's simply giving legitimacy to what Rav Yehudah Gaon Bala Lachas Gedolah said.
So, but in that case, it could seem like there'd be more than 613 today.
There are.
I mean,
possible.
But I'm saying, because if you can combine the Deraita and the Rabbanan, then you can't stop at 613, because eventually you'll have
there
more.
There are even more than 613 in the Torah itself, the written Torah, right? So,
look, the number 613 is a complicated number, because you could take the laws of Shabbos, say there are Lamites melachos, right? 39 melachos. Do they count as 39 separate mitzvot? No, no one counts them as 39.
Right.
Meaning the number of 613 is really a number which has very little relevance. Because sometimes you say, well, these are all facets of one mitzvah. The Torah says, be a kind person. That includes bikur cholim, levayas ameis, helping a person with the wedding, tzedakah. How do you break it down?
Okay.
So, to get the number 613, the Rambam gives us these 13 rules, how you get the 613. But at the end of the day, there are going to be, you could say, many more mitzvot, or many more facets of mitzvot than 613. You understand what I'm saying? And we'll see that. What the Rambam is doing is he's giving us rules, guidelines, how do you count these 613? So his first point was, you only count biblical mitzvot. And the Ramban says, wait a second, the Rambam's predecessors, Rav Yehudah Gaon, counted rabbinic mitzvot, and there's legitimacy to that. At the end of the day, the Ramban is going to say, you know, I really think the Rambam's right. I just came here to back Rav Yehudah Gaon, so you don't think that he has no legitimacy.
Except for a few cases of mitzvot that he adds in.
Or a few mitzvot where they disagree, but on this point, if I remember correctly, the Ramban is going to say in a few paragraphs, he's going to say, really, I think like the Rambam. I just came here to protect Rav Yehudah Gaon. Okay.
That's it.